Glory in Silence is today's title of our message. And our sermon series is called Unexpected Glory. And it is in the Christmas season that we see the unexpected glory unfold. And we're going to look today at the glory in silence. And so, raise of hand here, everybody, who here just needs some peace and quiet? Like, I'm talking pure silence. Right? Pure silence. Even if it's just for a few minutes. Now, there's a place where you can go for pure silence. Did you know that? In Minnesota, there's a room. It is called an anechoic chamber. It is considered the world's quietest place on earth. And when you walk in, it is designed in such a way that it absorbs every bit of sound. So in that room, there is no echo. Do you hear the echo in here when I'm talking loud? I had somebody this week ask me if I was hard of hearing because I talk too loud. My wife would say yes, I would say no. But inside that room, there's no echo, there's no traffic, there's no buzzing of electronics, there's no background noise. In fact, it is so silent that most people can't last in the room for more than a couple of minutes because it gets so uncomfortable because of how quiet it is. You can hear your heartbeat. You can hear your breathing. You can even hear your joints move. Can anybody hear their joint move right now? Could you imagine hearing your elbow creaking as it moved? That's what you can hear in this room. And again, most people can only stay for a couple of minutes because it becomes so overwhelming. And why? Because silence feels like there's nothing happening. When there's a lack of noise, it feels like there's nothing happening. But in that chamber, silence doesn't mean nothing is happening. It just means you can't hear what's happening. You can't hear it. And today I'm going to submit to you that Israel knew that similar kind of silence. Not the silence where they can hear their bones creak, but if you know, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there is 400 years of silence. No angel, no prophet, no prophecy, no fresh word from God. It was 400 years of silence. Now, many of us think in a couple of weeks that if I pray about something for 2 weeks and the Lord hasn't answered, it's time to move on. Would you know that Israel, for those 400 years, still maintained all the things that the Lord guided them to do, including taking care of the temple and going into the most holy place to atone for sins? And when the silence finally breaks, when it broke, it didn't happen in a palace. It didn't happen with a king. It happened in the temple to an elderly priest named Zechariah, a man who was still serving, still showing up, even with pain in his heart. Now, what was that pain? We'll get there, but before we read our passage, here's the scene that Luke gives us. And if you want to find your way, we're in Luke chapter 1, verses 11 through 20 today. If you have your Bible with you, and I hope you do. If not, maybe you can share with somebody next to you. But before we get to our passage, and while you're looking it up, Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were faithful, obedient, godly, but they had no children. They had no children. And in their culture, not having a child was a deep burden. Even though they carried that burden, they still kept serving. And on this particular day, it was Zechariah's division of priests that were on duty for the temple. And is what they did is they cast lots. The priests cast lots to see who would be chosen to go into the most holy place to burn incense. Now, that's probably the biggest moment of Zechariah's ministry, is getting the lots cast to be able to go in to the most holy place to burn incense for the atonement of sins. Outside, people are praying. Inside, Zechariah is doing what priests have done for generations. In a sense, it's routine, it's quiet. And I'm here to submit to you today that it's right there in the silence that God breaks in. It's in the ordinary, it's in the routine that God breaks in and breaks that silence. And so let's read what happens next. If you have your Bible, Luke chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. and there happened, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. First, I need you to understand the shock and awe that Zechariah would have had. 400 years of silence. Generations have gone by without hearing a fresh word from the Lord. Zechariah walks into the most holy place, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord. Has anyone seen an angel? Right? That's going to be shocking. It's going to grab attention. So, standing on the right side of the altar of incense, and Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel said to him, I find this so fascinating. The angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." Now, there's a whole lot going on there. Zechariah walks into the holy place, expecting a normal day, if you will. Nothing special, nothing different, going in and completing his priestly duties. But what often looks ordinary to us is often the exact place where God is setting the stage for something supernatural to take place. And that brings us to our first point this morning. God breaks the silence. God breaks the silence. See, Zechariah, he was not praying empty prayers. In fact, if you look at verse 13, we know that he had been specifically asking God for a child. It was a prayer that him and Elizabeth carried for many years. Now, this wasn't a casual request. It was deep. It was an aching hope of a righteous couple who loved God and longed for a miracle that they could no longer produce on their own. Does everyone read what I'm saying? They kept praying, they kept serving, believing that God could still do what only God can do. How many of us will pray prayers asking the Lord to do what we know he can do, but then when it comes, we start to question or we start to doubt or we start to say, how am I going to know, Lord? And it's into that faithful longing that God breaks into the silence. God shows up on an ordinary day after four centuries without a fresh word. God sends an angel into the most holy place with a message that connects a personal prayer, Zechariah and Elizabeth's prayer for a child, to a global promise, the coming Messiah. The Lord put them together. John would not only be their son, he would be the forerunner to the Messiah. Their miracle was part of God's redemptive story. And right here, this is where Christmas begins. This is where Christmas comes together, with God showing that he remembers the prayers that we bring with tears, that we bring with hope, and we bring with persistence. When God speaks to Zechariah, he's not announcing a random blessing. He's not just randomly letting him know. No, he's revealing the next step in his plan to send his son, Jesus, the promised Messiah. Jeremiah 33 tells us, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise that I made." And I think this is something that we all need to hang on to. This is our, Jade, if you hit that next one, this is our impact statement on this. Silence doesn't mean inactivity. If God is silent to your prayers, understand that that does not mean that God is inactive in answering your prayer. Maybe it's 400 years in waiting, which is absurd, right? We think I'm only alive for X amount of time, but we don't know the timing of the Lord. And so silence does not mean inactivity. See, if God breaking the silence shows us anything, it's that he didn't just see Zechariah's faithfulness, but he also heard his prayers. God didn't just only interrupt the moment. He reached back into the years of longing, the years of hurt, and he lifted up a prayer that Zechariah thought was finished because he said, "I'm an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." And it leads us into the next truth that we see in this story, and that is God remembers our prayers. God remembers our prayers. You can go ahead and advance that for me, Jade, please. See, Gabriel's announcement, it begins with compassion. What does he say? He says, "Your prayer has been heard." Your prayer has been heard. Zechariah had prayed for a child, not casually, but repeatedly, year after year, day after day. He and Elizabeth carried a burden and an ache of barrenness for decades. They wanted a child. They pleaded for a child. The Greek phrasing here suggests that the prayer was something that was ongoing. It was habitual. They didn't merely want a child. No, they pleaded for one. They sought a miracle from the Lord. And then Gabriel shows up and says, "Hey, it's going to be." And then Zechariah says, "But how do I know?" Because Gabriel just told you, right? We're not necessarily going to have an angel show up to answer, to say the Lord has heard your prayer. However, the Lord remembers our prayers. So you are not praying for no reason. You are not praying just to mark it off your list that you prayed. No, the Lord remembers each and every prayer that you have ever prayed. And by the time we reach Luke 1, Zechariah is old. Elizabeth is old. And it's highly likely the expectation behind that prayer had failed. When your body gets to a certain age, things don't work, right? Come on. You pretty much put a stamp that says, finished. It can't happen. And that prayer starts to fade. It seems like it's an unanswered prayer. Even if the memory of the prayer had not faded. But here's what we see. Zechariah was still faithful. He was still serving. He was still working at the temple. He was still worshiping. But perhaps, and we don't know, it doesn't tell us, but perhaps no longer was Zechariah and Elizabeth believing that this particular request could ever be fulfilled. At some point, they probably said, "We're not sure this is going to take place." Yet here's the thing that we all need to remember and we can all take some encouragement from. Heaven never forgets. God remembers your prayers. God had held their prayer the entire time, not ignoring it, not saying, "Nope, you don't deserve it," but instead, he was aligning it with a greater plan. See, the gift of a son was not only for their joy, but it was for God's redemptive timeline. John's birth was divinely timed because the Messiah's arrival was divinely timed. Who knows that Jesus came exactly at the right time? Their miracle was part of God's greater miracle, and that was the coming of the Lord Jesus. And that is what we celebrate at Christmas. This is the beauty of Christmas, if you will. Long before the manger, long before the angel singing, God was answering prayers in ways that pointed directly toward his son, Jesus. Psalms 145, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth." And our sticky state or our impact statement here is the prayers we forgot, God remembers. The prayers that we forgot, God remembers. How many of us, show of hands, it's okay. How many of you have prayed a prayer long, long, long time ago and you seemingly forgot because you just assumed it was never going to take place? Can I just tell you what one of mine were? When my parents got divorced, I prayed every night that the Lord would make my mom love my dad again and they would get back together. I prayed that for a couple years. They're still not together. But I wouldn't be here today without it. You see? But God, in His compassion, remembers every prayer that you have pleaded, every prayer that you have submitted at the foot of the cross. He remembers. But even when God remembers our prayers, who knows that it doesn't always mean our response is perfect? Because we're pointing right at Zechariah. Zechariah's prayer was answered. He believed enough to pray, but then he struggled to believe when the answer finally came. And in that tension, in that unbelief, God does something surprising. And what we see here is He disciplines Zechariah. There's a direct response to Zechariah, and it's not to reject him, but it's to prepare him for what's next. Let's look at how, in our third point, God prepares us. God prepares us. Because of Zechariah's doubt, Gabriel speaks plainly. Gabriel doesn't mince words. He says, I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent here. And so he speaks very plainly. And Zechariah took that message and he doubted the message that was delivered from the very presence of God. And the angel Gabriel responds with divine discipline. Now the angel didn't do it on his own. It was the Lord doing this. But divine discipline came, and it was that Zechariah would be silent until the promise is fulfilled. Now, it was a holy discipline. It was a discipline meant for correction, and it was the kind that God gives to people He loves and intends to use. You need to understand that today. Zechariah's silence was a consequence for unbelief. How will I know? I am old. My wife is old. But understand that this consequence was also a gift. Because as we're going to see here later on in Luke, you can go read it yourself if you'd like. Luke chapter 1, verse 67 through 79. The Lord was actually forming something in him, in Zechariah, that perhaps words may have disrupted. In a story where God is about to speak His final and His fullest word through Jesus, Zechariah temporarily loses his own. His discipline actually becomes a sign to the people that something took place in the Most Holy. It was a reminder that unbelief also has a cost, and a testimony that God still accomplishes His promise despite our human weakness. And at the same time, this punishment, it became a prep field for Zechariah. See, God quieted Zechariah so that when John is born and his tongue is finally loosed, the first word he speaks are spirit-filled prophecy. If you go read verses 67 through 79, the first words that he speaks are spirit-filled prophecy. And so what God does here is He disciplines to realign His people. He disciplines to point us back to where He wants us. He corrects to position us, to position His people to recognize and to proclaim the coming Christ. Who knows that Jesus Christ is the only reason that we are here today? Christmas tells us that even God's discipline bends towards redemption. The consequence made room for clarity. The silence made room for faith. The correction made room for Christ. Hebrews 12 tells us, the Lord disciplines when He loves, for our good, that we may share in His holiness. So God's discipline, our impact statement, God's discipline isn't rejection. A lot of people view discipline as rejection. Sometimes it is to reposition, to recalibrate, to slow us down, to get us to pay attention to what the Lord is doing. So God's discipline isn't rejection. So in Zechariah's silence, God wasn't done. He was taking him, he was shaping him, and when you step back and you look at all three pieces that we just went through, you look at them together, you begin to see the bigger picture. The story isn't about Zechariah's weakness. It's not even about John's birth. It's about a God who comes in and breaks silence, remembers prayers, and prepares hearts for the arrival of Christ Jesus. And that truth leads us straight in to how we can respond today. So when we look at Zechariah's story, we don't just see an old priest in a quiet temple. We see a God who comes in the ordinary. He breaks silence and he remembers our prayers. The first thing that Gabriel said is, your prayers have been heard. And even uses discipline to prepare us for what he's about to do. Every part of this moment is pointing forward towards Jesus. Not just to the birth of John, but to the birth of the promised Messiah. God simply wasn't giving Zechariah a son. He wasn't just answering a prayer to give him a son. He was announcing that the Savior of the world was finally stepping into human history. 400 years have gone by, silence from the Lord. And the first time that he comes back and he speaks, we are pointed to the promise of the Messiah. This is where unexpected glory begins. It's in silence broken. It's in hope reborn. And it is in faith being reshaped. And at the same time, the same God who moved in the holy place, guess what? He's still moving on your behalf today. The same God who moved in the holy place is still moving on your behalf today. You may feel like maybe you're living in a long silence. It's been years. It has been too quiet. But be encouraged today that Christmas reminds us that God speaks again. His first word after 400 years is, my son's coming. I'm putting things into motion. It's going to take place. You may feel like your prayers have hit the ceiling, and that's all the further it's gone. Can't get out of this room because God doesn't want to hear it. But Christmas tells us that God hasn't forgotten. He doesn't forget our prayers. He doesn't forget about us. And you may feel like maybe you're in that third point. Maybe you feel like you're in a season of correction. You're undergoing a little bit of discipline, if you will. But Christmas declares, be encouraged by this, the Christmas declares that God's discipline is meant to draw you closer, not push you away. So if you're walking in that moment, understand that the God is bringing you closer to Him. Everything in Luke chapter 1 builds toward one great truth, that God keeps every promise He makes, and all of His promises find their fulfillment in who? Jesus. Not in our timing, it's not in our strength, it's not in our understanding, but it is in Christ Jesus alone. So here's the application. If you're walking through silence right now, guess what? Lean in. Lean a little bit closer. If you're carrying old prayers, maybe some that you've forgotten, or maybe some that you are exhausted at praying again because it hasn't come to fruition, guess what? Pick them back up. It's okay to keep believing. If you're facing discipline, let God shape you through it. Because the same God who prepared Zechariah is preparing each and every one of us to encounter Jesus more deeply every single day. And especially as we go through this Christmas series. And when the Lord comes in and He breaks the silence in your life, it won't just be something to give you. Like, it's not just because He wants to give you something. He doesn't want to just come in and answer this particular prayer. It's because He wants to lead you to someone who knows every single day we need more of Jesus in our life. We just came off of our holiness series. Every single day, we are to become more like Jesus. Everything that God was doing in Zechariah's story was to make room for Jesus. Everything that he is doing in your life, guess what? Is to make room for more of Jesus. Let's allow more of Jesus in this year. So as we can't believe that we're already in the 7th of December, the end of the year is right here, and we're just a few days away from Christmas. Listen, as we step into this Christmas season, here's what matters. Stacy, if you want to make your way up. I want to remind us why all of this, why any of this matters. It's not just for us. This sermon is not just for us. It is for our city. It is for our neighbors. It is for the people that God has placed in our lives. Remember sphere of influence. We've talked about sphere of influence multiple times. Who is our sphere of influence? The same God who broke the silence for Zechariah wants to break in the silence in the hearts of the people all around us. Did you hear what I said? The same God who broke the silence for Zechariah wants to break the silence in the heart of the people that are all around us. The same God who remembers old prayers wants to answer the prayers that we're praying for the lost, for the hurting, and for the searching. The same God who prepared Zechariah for the coming of Jesus is preparing us to carry the hope of Jesus into our community. Show of hands, how many in here know somebody who needs Jesus in their life? So if the Lord wants to break the silence for Zechariah, and he's broken the silence in our life because, well, we're here today, he wants to break the silence in the hearts of the people all around us. Why would we be quiet? Why would we? Church, this is why we exist. This is why we gather every Sunday. This is why we celebrate Christmas. We are engaging our community for Jesus so people can experience the unexpected glory of the Messiah. We don't keep this hope to ourselves. This is not something that we hold in, and this is not grandma's religion, where you keep it to yourself and you just live a good life and everybody else will figure it out. No. May I submit to you that you don't hold this story in your hand. It's not your story to protect, but it is your story to share. Is your testimony different than mine? There's not one person in here that shares the exact same testimony that I have. I don't share a testimony with you. So speak up. Speak up. Share. Tell. We don't hold it to lock it in for our step, for ourselves, to remember the good times. No. Maybe the person next to us needs to hear about the time that the Lord did something that we thought would never come about, and that's what they need to hear to build their faith and say, I'm going to keep running towards this God, because if he can do it for you, he can do it for me. Why would we not want everyone to know that, to experience that? Every single day there's people dying and going to hell because Christians have not opened their mouth and told them about the good news of Jesus Christ. Are you with me this morning? Every single day that we wake up, we understand that we are not of this world. We are in this world, but we are not of this world because we have been saved and we have a hope and a promise of heaven, of eternity with him. But every day we step out of our bed, we step into a world that is chaotic, that feels silent at times, lonely, forgotten, in disarray. And it is our job to proclaim that Jesus has come, to proclaim that Jesus is near, and to proclaim that Jesus still saves, and to proclaim that Jesus will one day come and gather his church and take us all to be in glory with him. That is our job, to proclaim. May the glory that broke the silence in Luke 1, and I hope you guys understand the implications. 400 years of silence. How many of us are going to send our great-great-grandchildren to the same promise of God when we've never heard him? We've never seen him. We've never had a prophet come before us. We only have the stories of age old of our great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. 400 years of silence, and Israel is still doing the thing. And the Lord comes in on a random day when Zechariah walks into the most holy place, and he says, "Hey, I got something for you." And it's going to bring the Messiah as well. Wow. I can't imagine what Zechariah was feeling. So may that same glory, the unexpected glory, may that same glory come in every single day and break the silence in this community. Break the chains that are keeping people stuck in addiction, that are hurting, that are broken, that have no hope. May we be the carriers of that unexpected glory because we're not willing to be silent. Silence isn't the end of the story. It's the doorway that Jesus steps into. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. Lord, that when your silence breaks, you have a purpose. Lord, and we know what that is. It is the coming of the Messiah. And Lord, now that we are on this side, we know that the Messiah has come. We're celebrating Christmas. We're celebrating his birth. But Lord, there's another coming that we look forward to. And Lord, that is when you say, "It is done. I'm coming to gather my people, my church, my bride, and bring them with me into my presence." Lord, I pray that each and every one of us, Lord, are looking forward to when that comes. But Lord, in the meantime, we are not willing to be silent because we want everybody that we know to join us in that. And Father, I pray that you would just speak to each of us today. Lord, that you are challenging things in our life. You're challenging old prayers that we've prayed that we just kind of gave up on. Lord, that maybe you're silent and we don't know why. Lord, help us to remember that you're always working, that you're always listening. And Lord, maybe this is the hardest part of the prayer to pray, but Lord, if it's correction and discipline we need, bring it. Help us walk through it. Lord, I pray all around this room that you are working on the hearts of the people, that you are challenging us and you are preparing us, Lord, for such a time as this. May your glory break the silence here at New Sharon. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. If you would, stand to your feet this morning. I just want to extend an opportunity to everybody, because I don't know where everybody is. Maybe this morning you feel far from God. Maybe you're not sure where he is in this season of your life. Just as Jesus stepped into our silence, just as he stepped in to save us, he came to bring you home. If you've been distant, if you've been drifting, or if you've never surrendered your life to him, you have an opportunity to do so today. Romans 10:9 tells us that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, what does it say? You will be saved. Confession of mouth, belief in your heart. So with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, I just want to ask, if you're ready to give your life to Jesus, if you are ready to confess him as Lord, and you have belief in your heart that God raised him from the dead, would you raise your hand right now in this moment? Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Church, we're going to pray a prayer together. Repeat after me. Understand that this has nothing to do with the prayer itself. The prayer does not save you. It is the confession of your mouth and belief in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins, to reconcile me back to you. Lord Jesus, I confess that you are Savior and Lord. I believe that you raised from the dead on the third day. From this moment on, I commit myself to you. Would you be present in every aspect of my life? Create in me more of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. There was one person today that said, hey, I need to recommit my life to the Lord. So thank you. Yes, praise the Lord. Come on. The angels of heaven are celebrating right now. And listen, I know it's snowy, I know it's cold, I know all the things, but here's what I know. We're in the presence of the Lord Most High this morning. In this moment, I don't want to just run out of here. I know the team's playing, and maybe you have a roast in the crock pot. I promise it'll still be there as long as you have enough fluid. It'll not be burnt when you get home to eat. Before you leave today, it is my firm belief that the Holy Spirit has been working on hearts. And I believe that maybe He is drawing some of you into a response today. Maybe you are in that season that feels silent. Maybe you just need to take time to speak to God again. Maybe you've carried those prayers for years, and today, maybe today you feel that faith starting to rise. You feel it starting to build up again, where you can start to believe in the things of the Lord. Maybe God has been connecting you, correcting you, more. He's connecting you to a little bit of discipline. He's taking time to make some corrections in your life. And maybe He's just slowing you down. Who knows that we can be so fast all the time and miss what the Lord has. Maybe He's brought you here today and He has slowed you down to the point He's saying, hey, today I want to reshape your heart. Would you let me? Would you submit to Him today instead of resisting? Whatever it is, bring it to Jesus. The altars are open, as you know. Let this be your holy place moment. Let this be where unexpected glory can take place. Come on. As the worship team plays, listen, the altars are open. There is zero judgment in this place. Let God break your silence. Let God awaken your heart. Let Him stir in you a fresh hope. Let Him draw you closer to Jesus than you've ever been before. Amen. The altars are open, church.